Well, as I mentioned, we are beginning today a new preaching series as we look at the gifts of the Spirit, spiritual gifts. But let's be honest, because for a lot of folks, that can be very confusing and has been confusing for many. And being confused can be very disconcerting. I heard about a state trooper who had his radar set up on a county road, and he was watching folks come and go, obviously ready to give them tickets for speeding. And then this car came down the road. It was just barely puttering along. He looked at the radar and it said 22. And he couldn't believe it. He thought, the speed limit's 65. Why in the world is this person going 22? So he turned on his lights, pulled him over. And as he got to the car, he noticed this woman, an elderly woman driving. She had five passengers in the car, also seniors. They were all wide-eyed and slack-jawed and just white as ghosts. But she rolled down her window and said, "Officer, what's wrong? I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was going exactly the speed limit." He said, "Ma'am, you just need to know that driving too slow can be as dangerous as speeding. And I just want to let you know that you need to speed it up." She said, "Officer, I was going exactly the speed limit, 22 miles an hour." And he chuckled and he said, "Ma'am, that's not the speed limit. That's the route number." Now, she was embarrassed, but she kind of, you know, bucked up and said, "I apologize. I'll do a better job." He says, "Well, thank you. I just wanted to give you a warning. Can I ask before I go, though, what's going on with everybody else in the car? Are they okay? They seem a little shaken." She said, "Oh, they'll be fine in a moment. We just got off Route 119. We don't want you to be confused. Which is why we're spending 6 weeks talking about the gifts of the Spirit. It is our prayer that we can clear up some of that confusion, the misconceptions. But it's a lot of content. It's kind of like drinking from a fire hose. And you'll feel that way at times. But, you know, it's better to have some information, because even a little information can be helpful when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. It can make a huge difference in our lives. So let's get started. And we begin by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in the first verse, because Paul writes something very insightful for us there. He uses two key words now about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant. Not understanding spiritual gifts apparently was a problem in Paul's day, even as it is today. And you may be thinking, like, okay, but what has this got to do with me? I'm a carpenter. Or I'm a teacher. I'm a stay-at-home parent. I don't work for the church. Why do I need to worry, even think about spiritual gifts? What in the world are spiritual gifts anyway? Chuck Swindoll says a spiritual gift is a God-given ability that enables the Christian to function in God's family with ease, efficiency, and a sense of accomplishment. Boy, that's a great definition. It allows you and I, followers of Christ, to work in this family we call the church, the body of Christ, with ease, efficiency, and to have a sense of accomplishment. We know we're doing something good with the Lord. God gives power to turn our life around, we know, from the teachings of Christ and what God calls us to experience. We are to be new persons when we give our hearts to the Lord. But it makes sense that He also gifts us to serve Him. He gives us abilities to be able to serve Him. In other words, God enables us to participate in the work of the kingdom, not simply as a member, but as a contributor to God's work. You've heard us say many times that God has a purpose for you, and it makes sense then that God equips you to do it. God doesn't just give you a purpose, but God enables and equips you to do that. But does every one of the Christians, all those who follow Christ, do they have a gift? Well, again, we look at 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them in men. Now, to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. What we get to is the bottom line that every follower of Christ has at least one gift. It's reiterated as you look at 1 Corinthians 12:11 and 1 Peter 4:10. Of Corinthians says all these are works of the one and same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Or as we read in 1 Peter, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Let me back up for a minute and summarize 4 points that you've heard here, because like I said, it's a lot of content. We've learned that there are different kinds of gifts. All gifts are given by God. It is God who determines what gifts we get, and we all have at least one gift. So far, so good? That's pretty straightforward as you read these writings. The truth is, you're a gifted individual. Some of you may never have heard that or never believed that, but when you recognize and use your gifts, it's an incredible experience. You might ask then, what are these gifts? Now, we're going to start looking at those over the next 5 weeks, and we'll have some each week that we parse through, we'll look at. But there are lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible. In fact, there are 7 key passages in the New Testament, and we're going to talk about those passages. But each passage, we're going to be looking at them, looking at the key words, at some definitions that help us understand whether or not we might have that gift. But that 1 Corinthians 12 is important because it reminds us that there are varieties of gifts, and those gifts are to be used in unity. That is, not as individual solo acts, we're to do it together. All gifts are needed, we find out. And if we're not using our gifts, then this church is not at full strength. 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us that our gifts are to be a reflection of God's love. And 1 Corinthians 14 reminds us that our gifts are to be constructive, not destructive. Churches have been torn apart fighting over spiritual gifts. But you and I can never find any justification in Scripture for using God-given gifts as a format for dissension in the church. As a pastor, I've heard many times people ask, how can I understand what God wants me to do? Well, that's one way to ask, but I think there's a different way that's more helpful. Once you understand who God made you to be, you will understand better what God made you to do. So don't begin with what the gifts are. Understand who God made you to be, and then you'll know what to do. That is, understand how God has gifted you as a prelude to understanding how to serve God. Let's look at what the Bible teaches about spiritual gifts. I want to look at some summary principles, because I think it's really important to keep these in mind as we go through the individual gifts over the next few weeks. They're all found in the New Testament. For instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7 reminds us that everyone has at least one gift. Now, you may be thinking all the way through, not me, not me, not me, but God has said in Scripture clearly that everybody has at least one gift. You may not know what the gift is, but you have at least one. Secondly, Christians are given those spiritual gifts by God. And thirdly, no one receives all the gifts. You may know some people who seem immensely talented. They seem to have a lot of gifts, but they don't have them all. That is not the way it works. And fourth, no single gift is given to everyone. That's important because it means that if someone tells you that you must speak in tongues or do this or that to be a Christian, that's really not true. You and I know churches that teach that, but that's a deviation from what Scripture teaches. Paul asks rhetorical questions as we look at that. He says, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? Well, we would say, of course not. Are all teachers? Does everyone work miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Are speaking in tongues, are interpreting? Of course not. To some are given, he writes. Fifth, God will decide what gifts you get. You don't have to worry about taking a class. Now, the class may be helping you to discover that gift or how to use it, but you don't have to do something because it's God who has given those gifts to you. When you commit your life to him, he invests you with those gifts for the work of his kingdom. And these gifts are permanent. They don't grow old and stale and wear out. You're to discover, we also understand, and to use the gifts that God gives you. That's important because God has a purpose for each one of us. So God equips us with what we need to accomplish that purpose. And that's important when we come to be part of building the kingdom. Let me illustrate with a story from a book called The Pursuit of Excellence by Ted Angstrom. Ted writes, I was cleaning out my desk and I came across a flashlight, one that I hadn't used in over a year. I flipped the switch, but no surprise, no light came on. I unscrewed it and shook it to get the batteries out, but they wouldn't budge. Finally, after some effort, they came loose, and what a mess. Battery acid everywhere. The entire inside of the flashlight was corroded. Now, the batteries were new when I put them in, but I'd stored them in this safe, warm place. But there's a problem. Batteries weren't made to be warm and comfortable. They were made to be turned on. Do you know that's exactly the way you're made, to use your gifts? In fact, Jesus tells us that you are the light of the world. Make sure your light is turned on. Our church is full of Christians with God-given gifts, but some of us are much like Ted's batteries, just showing up in a safe, warm church. Spiritual gifts are given to be used. Last couple of reminders that we have to keep in mind as we preach through this series is an unused gift will be a waste of a God-given opportunity. A life designed by God falls short when we ignore our gifts. And using your gifts, in fact, honors God and is a blessing to you. Jesus said in John 15:8, God is glorified when we bear much fruit. We honor God. We are blessed when we use our lives to change the world, to transform it, to be a part of bringing God's love there. That's the fruit that Jesus talked about. So why are spiritual gifts important? There are some benefits when we start using them, and it doesn't take long to see them. First, it gives us direction. As you begin to understand what God is calling you to do, you begin to see where God is leading you. Secondly, is accomplishment. When you're working from your strengths, you see a lot getting done. I'm right-handed, and when I sign my name with the right hand, it's pretty easy. I don't even have to think about it. You put that pen in my left hand and tell me to write my name, then I have to concentrate, and it's not pretty. I know some of you are ambidextrous. For the rest of us, though, we have to work from our strength. It is very hard to do it when we're working from our weaker side. Most of us don't do well if we don't work from our strength, and so it is with our gifts. It would make sense, if you want to serve God, that you would want to know what your strengths are. Thirdly, our spiritual gifts provide us much-needed resources. I would go as far to say that this church will never reach its capacity to do God's will if we're not all using our gifts. And when we use our gifts, it is encouraging. It's encouraging to you, to others, but it also means you're free just to be yourself. You're not being buttonholed in a vacant place in the church. You're really getting to do what God designed you to do. The greatest thing we can do with our lives is commit our hearts, our lives, to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And when we do that, we begin to discover that God has gifted us. And so the next step then would be to use those gifts to understand how God calls us to use our life. And finally, let me remind you, there's some warnings that we have to keep in mind as we look through the gifts of the Spirit. Now remember, we're going to get into the gifts later. The next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at those. But what we want to do is keep these principles in mind, these benefits in mind, and the warnings in mind. And the warnings are important. For instance, some people think that spiritual gifts are for perfect people. Maybe you've heard somebody say, God couldn't use me, I'm not good enough. Well, be careful about that because that's contrary to the story of Scripture. Do you remember that God used Thomas even though he doubted? God used Peter even though he had that foot and mouth disease? He used Jonah, and Jonah ran away from God. He used David. David was an adulterer. You begin to read Scripture and you wonder, it's like, can God use me? Of course he can. He can use us even in our imperfection if we will pay attention to the way He has called us to live, and that includes our gifts. Let's not make the mistake, secondly, of thinking that our spiritual gifts automatically correspond to our natural talents. Some of you, as you look through this list, may say, nope, I don't see golf anywhere. I'm not on the list. I don't see scrapbooking. Well, be careful about that, because those are talents, things you enjoy doing, hobbies. Spiritual gifts often are quite different. They might overlap, and that's okay, but they may be very different from the way you're thinking. Don't confuse spiritual gifts with fruit of the Spirit. You think about what makes a whole person in Christ. Fruit of the Spirit is about spiritual maturity. We read about it in Galatians 5, that it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I mean, those attributes are what help us mature as followers of Jesus. But it's the spiritual gifts that give us the ability to do the work of the kingdom. They're both parts of the whole, and they're both important. Let's also not confuse our gifts with our vocation. We would say our job. Now, we could say that because I don't work in the medical profession, I don't have the gift of healing. And that may not be true either. Or because I'm not a teacher, I don't have the gift of teaching. We make the mistake when we line up our jobs by saying, those are my spiritual gifts. They could overlap, but often they're distinctive and different as well. Which is important, because I'm learning that I don't have to wear camel's hair clothing and eat locusts to be prophetic. Also, don't expect others to have your gifts, the same gifts. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And that's important, because in that variety, we understand that there is one Spirit who's guiding us, but there's a huge variety out there. And I don't need to expect that any one of you would have the same gifts I do, nor do I have to have the gifts you do. My gifts are important. Your gifts are important in the work of the kingdom. Six, don't think that only the visible gifts are vital. We do that. We make that mistake. I mean, it's obvious that I'm here in front of you preaching, and that's a very visible gift. But do you have any comprehension and awareness of all that went on for weeks before we got here? I mean, just the choir rehearsing, that's critical. The ushers being here early to make sure everything's set up, the sanctuary being cleaned, making sure the bill was paid so the light stayed on. It goes on and on and on and on. Those are behind the scenes, but they're vitally important. They're just as important as what I'm doing right now. There is no better or lesser gift. They're all important. Paul says, in fact, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts we think less honorable, we treat with special honor. Finally, don't think you should only serve in the area of your giftedness. I know what's possibly going to happen. So, it's not my gift. I don't want to help. Maybe your gift will be mercy, or maybe your gift will be generosity. Maybe your gift will be compassion. And somebody may come along and say, will you help with Vacation Bible School? Nope, not my gift, you might say. I get a buy on that one, and you just smile as you walk out of the room. Here's what I want you to remember. Your primary calling is where you are gifted. Your secondary calling is where you are needed. And there are times that I'm needed, even though I'm the pastor of the church, a preacher. There are times that I have to help put up tables because I'm needed. There are times where I need to grab the mop because I'm needed. And that's okay. That isn't, and my gifts are not an excuse for saying, not my job, not my responsibility, not my gifts. Your giftedness is important, but where you're needed is also important, and they're not working against each other. Timothy, for instance, had the gift of pastoring, but Paul tells him to do the work of an evangelist. You're needed there, Timothy. Go share the good news of Christ. I want you to know something which I believe is critically important. There is a difference between church work and the work of the church. Some of you may be using your gifts in the church, and that typically is church work. Nothing wrong with it. But it's very different because the majority of our gifts are meant to be used when we leave here. They're going to be used in the elevator, in the doctor's office, in your workplace, in the school, any place you're with a neighbor, a friend, a family member, a stranger. Those are the gifts that transform the world. The gifts that we see in here are often preparing and equipping the saints for the work that the saints are called to do. That's us. So don't forget to do the work of the church, to go and make disciples of all nations. That's what Jesus called us to do. In fact, I would like to close with words given to a young Christian named Timothy. These easily could be words written to us today. For Paul tells him, do not neglect your gift. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Stay true to what is right, and God will save you and those who hear you. Let us pray. Lord, when we discover how much you love us and how you want to have a relationship with us, that is overwhelming in its joy. It's transformative. It's wonderful. But it gets better. Because then we realize that you've invited us to be part of building your kingdom, part of sharing your love with the world. And not only do you call us to do that, but you equip us that we might succeed and have your very power at work within us. These gifts of the Spirit, Lord, are what we pray for. Help us to understand them and, more importantly, to use them. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. We have sung that we will gather around this table to taste and share what love can do. We have experienced the love of Jesus Christ. But God has asked us then to carry that love into the world, to be representatives of the Prince of Peace. Go with your gifts, discovering them along the way, being willing to share that this world will be transformed to be the kingdom that God intends. Go now in peace and go in love. Amen.